News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
This is the WSJM News Week in Review Podcast for the week ending August 10, 2018. In the WSJM Newsroom, I'm Mike Ilarney. Well, we had a primary election Tuesday resulting in a record turnout. Nearly 2.2 million of us in Michigan went to the polls. There were some problems, specifically in Oakland County, north of Detroit, where several precincts ran out of ballots. In some areas, they had up to 80% voter turnout. Statewide, 29.7% voter turnout. A recap now of the winners. It's going to be Attorney General Bill Schuette against former State Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmer in the gubernatorial election in November. Schuette defeated three other Republican challengers in Tuesday's primary in a race that got ugly after Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly accused him of breaking the law by having state employees doing political work on state time.
We're going to have a strong, united, unified Republican Party. It's going to start tomorrow in Grand Rapids when Vice President Pence comes into town. And whatever our differences may have been, this is all about the future and how we have more jobs and bigger paychecks.
Those differences, though, still remain. Get to that in a moment. Whitmer says her goal, if she's elected governor, is to make the state a better place for the next generation.
We need to ensure that Michigan is the place where our kids and grandkids can thrive. Because we all know this, that all children have potential, but not all have opportunity. And that's what is on us to make sure they do.
Whitmer defeated former Detroit Health Department Director Dr. Abdul El Sayed and Ann Arbor entrepreneur Sri Tanidar, both of whom touting a single-payer health care system for the state. The Libertarian nominee is Bill Gelinow. That party was on the ballot for a primary for the first time in state history. No running mates have yet been announced by either Schuette or Whitmer. Schuette is said to be looking at former Congresswoman and Macomb County Public Works Commissioner Candace Miller, House Appropriations Committee Chairwoman Laura Cox, who is the wife of former Attorney General Mike Cox. Those are the two frontrunners at this point, it seems. Others apparently under consideration include State Senator Tanya Shoemaker of Lawton, who is up for the Republican nod for Attorney General, and State Senator Margaret O'Brien of Portage. Schuette has said his running mate will be female. Whitmer says she has also not yet picked who she will run with. And on Wednesday, both parties held unity rallies. The Republicans were in Grand Rapids, the Democrats in Detroit. The Democratic event was closed to the media, but it did show actual party unity as both El Sayed and Tanidar took the stage to publicly support Whitmer. GOP brought in Vice President Mike Pence, who proclaimed the Trump administration support for Schuette, and U.S. Senate candidate John James.
Two special people who bring extraordinary experience and background to their candidacies, and they've already ignited the enthusiasm of people across this state.
But it was who wasn't there. It showed the deep divide in the Republican Party. Governor Rick Snyder is not supporting Bill Schuette. He had endorsed Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly in the primary. Snyder's office put out a statement to questions of if he will support Schuette. In it, he said he is committed to working with the next administration on continuing some of the work he's done, like 8 straight years of balanced budgets that were done months ahead of the deadline. As for Kelly, he had this message Tuesday night.
I look forward to talking with you real soon about how we unify this party and how we protect this Michigan comeback, because we cannot afford to return to the failed policies of the past.
And that was directed right at Bill Schuette. The lieutenant governor said Thursday, though, that Schuette's camp rejected his offer to go up on stage and publicly endorse the attorney general in the gubernatorial race at the unity rally. Primary fight between the two. Bitter and hard feelings are still right there on the surface. In local races, Republican Eric Nesbitt will face Democrat Garnett Lewis to succeed Tanya Shoemaker in the 26th State Senate District. Nesbitt won the Republican primary Tuesday. He defeated Allegan County Clerk and former State Representative Bob Janetsky, along with Don Wickstra. He talked to us after the win about his plans if he wins in November.
Now we need to go on to the next level where we can continue to create jobs, balance budgets, and pay down debt. But also we need to cut the cost of auto insurance and continue to concentrate on fixing our roads and getting them up to good condition.
Nesbitt served 3 terms in the House before he was term limited out, then was Michigan Lottery Commissioner for a brief time after leaving office. He resigned from that this spring to run for the Senate. Lewis was unopposed in the Democratic primary. That district, the 26th, includes all of Van Buren and Allegan counties and a small portion of south-central Kent County. Matchup is also set in the race to succeed term-limited Senator John Prose in the 21st district. After just 1 term in the House, Republican Representative Kim Lasada decided to make a run for the Senate. She defeated fellow Representative Dave Pagel in the primary. We asked her about why she chose to shoot for the upper chamber now instead of running for 2 more terms in the House.
With term limits, we can't really choose our timing. Senator John Prose could no longer run, so it was an open seat.
Pagel is term limited out of the House. Democrat Ian Hite of St. Joseph did not have a primary opponent. He will face Losada in November.
It feels good. I've worked hard. I've met with a lot of people. I've connected with the district, and I'm proud of what I've accomplished.
That's Pauline Wenzel. She's the Republican nominee for the State House in the 79th District, currently occupied by Losada. She's a fourth-generation family farmer in Bainbridge Township, graduated from Watervliet High School and Michigan State University. Told WSJM News she ran for office because she doesn't think enough people her age are stepping up.
We need more young people involved in our communities and local government.
Wenzel's platform includes improving infrastructure throughout Southwest Michigan, helping to get more vocational training in schools, improving education overall, and protecting the area's agricultural heritage while not getting in the way of economic growth. Now, you remember a dozen years ago, the gubernatorial race between Governor Jennifer Granholm at the time and Republican Dick DeVos focused hard and heavy on people leaving the state as the Great Recession was just about to begin. In many areas, that trend has reversed, but not everywhere. 78th District Republican State House nominee Brad Paquette says for southern Berrien County and parts of western Cass County, it's still a problem, and he wants to address it if he's elected in November.
In my district, with the exception of one township, we have upward around 2% of population loss, and that's incredibly detrimental to communities and our economy in this area.
Paquette says there are several reasons for the outward migration, but one is bigger than the others.
Auto insurance obviously is outrageously expensive. Well, I was knocking thousands of doors over the last few months, and that's one of the main concerns. So many people are like, yeah, my daughter moved away just because of that.
The 31-year-old Marquette native says he's hopeful that with a new slew of lawmakers headed to Lansing due to term limits, something can finally be done after decades of attempts to change that system and get the cost down. Matt Longjohn is the Democratic nominee to run against Congressman Fred Upton. He handily won the primary to face Upton as the St. Joe Republican seeks his 17th straight term in November. Longjohn says he looks forward to riding what he predicts is going to be a blue wave in November. So how can he overcome the experience and the money that Upton has?
Just got to be true to ourselves. And by being true to myself and this team, we'll provide some really important contrasts. We'll never raise more money than Fred Upton. That's not how we're going to win this thing.
Longjohn defeated David Benek, Rich Eichholz, and George Franklin. Longjohn's a doctor, former YMCA and public health official, and he says he has experience working in the healthcare field and creating jobs. Voters turned down a road millage in Van Buren County, meaning it's back to the drawing board for the Road Commission. They'd asked voters for an additional three mills for a dozen years. Would have generated more than $10 million a year. Van Buren County Road Commission Engineer Manager Larry Hummel tells us the talks now start on what to do next.
Certainly just for us to be able to then kind of take it to that next step and have those discussions with everybody again about where we're at. Because without additional funding that we did make a request for in that levy, we're just going to continue to see that overall network decline.
Hummel says the need for a large increase in money remains.
There's a lot of work. There's a lot of poor road conditions that, quite honestly, are just going to continue to get poor.
Hummel tells us the federal and state contributions for roads will never be enough to get the system into adequate shape. He says for the $285 that the average driver pays every year in registration fees and gas taxes, Van Buren County gets back $1. Away from the elections now, 8.5 minutes in, Benton Harbor Area Schools Board of Education holding its first meeting with new CEO Robert Herrera at the helm. About 3 weeks after he took the job with the Michigan Departments of Education and Treasury overseeing him, Tuesday night, Herrera filled the board in on what he's been up to. Those matters include forming a new partnership with Western Michigan University to help teacher development. He says that is going to be a big change.
I think having those level of supports is extremely invaluable in actually bringing Western's technical expertise to actually change up the teaching and learning environment. So within the district, it's going to be a big shift in the climate.
Herrera says he wants students to see a new learning environment when they get back to class for the new academic year.
Our teachers will have so many more resources and materials and supports to work with. I'm hoping that the students see that there's more opportunities for them to engage in the lessons.
Herrera told the board he's approved a new language arts and math curriculum. Costs were high due to the number of students who are behind, but he said the curriculum piece is vital. Benton Harbor City Commissioner is adjusting the registration process for medical marijuana businesses seeking to operate in the city. Monday night, they moved the application availability dates to September 1st through October 1st. Dates were previously set a month later. Commissioner Mary Alice Adams was in favor of starting to offer the applications as soon as August 13th instead. She's long pushed for such facilities to be allowed.
Nobody is talking about actually smoking marijuana. We're talking about something that God allows to grow from his green earth that is actually curing people. And there's nobody mad but pharmaceuticals, doctors that have gotten rich.
Mayor Marcus Muhammad said it would be fair to staff who have to process the applications if the dates are kept a few weeks out. at his suggested date of September 1.
I think that we are moving at a good pace. I think that staff needs to have a process internally.
City Manager Darwin Watson noted the move is in response to a shift in state deadlines. City of Parchment and Cooper Township will soon be getting drinking water from the City of Kalamazoo, and they'll do that for at least the next year. City commissioners in both Kalamazoo and Parchment okayed the deal Monday night to address Parchment's water crisis due to extremely high levels of the suspected carcinogen PFAS. Kalamazoo Mayor Bobby Hopewell says local, state, and federal agencies came together to help.
They threw up the red flag or the smoke signals, and friends came running. And we're glad that we were able to be those friends.
Kalamazoo's Deputy City Manager Jeff Chamberlain says they're fast-tracking the work, which is meant as an interim solution, which might become permanent. A second water main connecting the two is now being installed. There are changes, and if you look at our Facebook page, unpopular ones, to a big popular event in downtown St. Joseph. Live mannequins began in 2012 as part of the Light Up the Bluff celebrations every December. It's not going to stay there, though. St. Joseph Today's Amy Zapel says they're moving it to the spring, changing the name to March Mannequins.
You know, it was a great event, and as always, St. Joe Today gets through an event. We look at everything. We look at everything we can do to fulfill our mission, which is to support our downtown and the surrounding communities, and change what needs to be changed. We make better what needs to be made better.
Staple says March is typically slow downtown, and St. Joseph Today thought the retailers could use a shot on the arm to get people to come down there. Light Up the Bluff is always packed anyway. For Light Up the Bluff this winter, Zapel says they will instead hold live from downtown, featuring special deals and other attractions at area shops. Marion County has a new judge, Governor Snyder, appointing Gordon Hospin of St. Joseph to fill the 5th District Court availability that was created when Donna Howard moved over to the 2nd Circuit Court in Marion County to replace Judge John Donahue after his resignation in July. Hospin is coming to the bench in St. Joe after serving as an assistant prosecutor in Macomb County for the last decade. He'll serve the rest of Howard's term through 2020. He is eligible to run for a full term in November of that year. Michigan Retailers Association says back-to-school sales numbers are expected to be strong, just like last year when $83 billion was spent nationwide. The association's Megan Howlett expects sales to be near that record again this year.
People are shelling out money for back to school, mainly for clothing and accessories. The general merchandise stores are doing really well. So it's been positive.
So far this year, 43% of retailers in the state say sales are running ahead of their projections. 20% say they're on target. As many as 100 new jobs are coming to Hager Township. Cornerstone Alliance telling WSJM News a Friday afternoon that DiCastro Logistics Group will be opening up a new operation in the township. The Chinese-based company is the largest distributor of aluminum wheels for the auto industry in the world. Cornerstone Alliance Chief Operating Officer Greg Vaughn says they're shipped to 46 assembly plants in North America.
This company provides the wheels for a great majority of the vehicles you see on the road today, and they're going to be shipping and receiving about 20,000 wheels per day that will come in and out of this facility.
DLG will be making what the Alliance calls a significant investment in the 423,000-square-foot facility at 4412 Coloma Road. Hager Township will be asked to create an industrial development district to help with the establishment of that business at its August 13th meeting on Monday. In the WSJM newsroom, I'm Michael Arney.